everybody. It's great to see you this morning. I'm Sarah Pasquale, if we haven't met. I'm the Minister of Spiritual Formation. I did this once before at the last service, and my parents and my in-laws and my next-door neighbors all came to support me, which was so sweet, but nobody knows all your secrets like your parents and your in-laws and your next-door neighbors, so the pressure was on. Now I feel a little bit more of a relief to be with you. So many of you know my husband, Jonathan, and most of you know him as the guy who holds the babies and supplies the really good coffee every Sunday. But a few of you also may know him as the guy who has some really cool God stories about God's power at work in his life. Even just recently, he was fasting during Holy Week and would be up in the middle of the night praying. And at the same time he was praying one night, another friend here from Resonate had a dream. And in the dream, Jonathan showed up to them and talked to this person about spiritual warfare in their life and how to deal with it at the same time. And then even just a few weeks ago in this prayer room right over here, he was praying for someone who was suffering from a medical condition. He prayed over her, and you guys, she was healed. She has been walking and healing ever since. These cool things are even happening within our midst as a church. We love these kinds of people, and we love these kinds of stories because they help us to hope in and remember a God that we cannot always see or understand how he is working. And yet, not many of us Christians expect to experience these kinds of things for ourselves. But my question for you today is, what if that kind of life, the one with these regular God encounters, isn't the exception, but the invitation? What if all of us were able to live in this way and see God powerfully at work in our lives on a regular basis? So this summer, we are going through the doctrine of God, and today we are going to be talking about the God who does more than we can imagine. The God who does more than we can imagine. Now, this is pulled from Ephesians 3. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it to you in the NIV because I think probably everybody is the most familiar with this text in this translation, but feel free to open up the Bibles behind or in the seats in front of you or your own translations and follow along as well. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's look closely at verse 20 before we dive in. When we look at this verse, what is God able to do here? Shout it out. Immeasurably more than all we ask for, imagine. I promise the answers are right on the screen. You can say it and you won't get it wrong. Okay, and then how does God do these amazing things? According to his power working where? Within us, you guys, his power working within us. So when we think about the God who does more than we can imagine, we really need to think about God's power, what it is, what it looks like, how it is working within us. If we want to understand and know the God who can do more than we would ever ask or imagine, we need to consider the power of God and the work of God. So I want to begin by just painting a picture of God's power in relation to humanity throughout the Bible. We begin with creation. In the beginning, we were created by God to be in loving relationship with him, to walk with him, to work with him in the garden, to enjoy him forever. God's ultimate and unrestrained power didn't threaten or scare, but it welcomed. In the beginning, we had an accurate understanding of who God was, who humanity was, and what that difference looked like. In creation, God's power was good, and it could be trusted. It was good and trustworthy. But then, sin entered the storyline. And in the conversation with the serpent, Adam and Eve questioned God's goodness. In that moment, God's power was no longer perceived as a pathway to intimate relationship, but instead it became a threat. Adam and Eve stopped trusting in God's power and determined instead that they needed to gain their own power in becoming like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And at that moment, humanity became afraid of God's power and presence, seeing it as a threat and a danger. And this continues. In Exodus 20, after God has set his people free from slavery in Egypt, he brings them to Mount Sinai. and God invites them to the mountain to be with him. And even though God invited them to participate in this worship, Israel opted out. Let's look at Exodus 20, 18 to 19. All the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the ram's horn, and the mountain surrounded by smoke. When the people saw it, they trembled and they stood at a distance. Listen to this. You speak to us and we will listen, they said to Moses, but don't let God speak to us or we will die. Moses, you do the talking and we'll listen to you, but we don't want to hear from God directly. They encountered God's presence on the mountain and it scared them. And not in a reverential sort of way, but in a completely terrified kind of way. So much that they determined that they would stay away from God and get Moses to be their intermediary. Unlike what we saw in the beginning, God's power was no longer a pathway to intimate relationship, but something to be avoided and protected against. This God who delivered his people from Pharaoh was too powerful, too dangerous, and too threatening. God's power was no longer perceived as trustworthy and good, but as dangerous and threatening. Until one day, God himself came down, taking on humanity to be with the people he created. Jesus, as a man in God, showed his power in a tangible way, calming storms, casting out demons, healing people. And this display of his power over nature, over the spiritual realm, over death and disease, caused some to draw close, becoming his disciples, watching what he did and trying to do what he did as well. But others rejected Jesus, fearing the loss of their own power as it was dwarfed under his. And they were willing to do whatever it took to stop this power, even if it meant killing the Son of God. So they did. But at his crucifixion, we know that his power wasn't stopped. It was released. It was released. In fact, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. That giant barrier that separated the presence of God from the people was broken. And a way was made again for us to come to interact with God in intimacy and union, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. So now we live on this side of the cross. And we don't look to Moses or our favorite author or our elders or our life group leaders to talk to God for us, backing away and letting the intermediaries do the work. But we get to come directly to God. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that because of Christ's work, we can approach God's throne of grace with boldness. Think about this throne of God for a moment, what it looks like to approach it. If you look at descriptions of it throughout Scripture, you'll see some common things. The Bible describes the throne room of God as having lightning and thunder and earthquakes and fire, so like basically the scariest storm you could ever imagine. And then in Revelation, we read about these four creatures that look like eagles and lions and other wild animals, and they have all these wings, and then they've got eyeballs inside and outside, whatever that means. But day and night, nonstop, they are crying out in worship to God. This is kind of wild if you were to really close your eyes and imagine it. It's completely terrifying. It's why pretty much anybody who encounters God in Scripture falls on their face and thinks they died. No wonder Israel was afraid to go to the mountain and experiencing God for themselves. But let's go back to this Hebrews 4:16 passage. You can read along with me. Therefore, it says, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So we just talked about this throne room of God, but what is the throne called according to this passage? The throne of grace. And how can we approach it? With boldness. Yeah, with confidence. So this is how we engage with the power of God now on this side of the cross. That separation was broken and God's power is no longer a scary threat, but it is a display of his grace in which we have free and full access. God's power is pictured in his grace. So pause and think for a moment. Where do you find yourself in what I just shared? Do you live in the sin narrative where sure, you believe God is powerful, but that power is something that scares you, makes you uncomfortable, so you keep it and you keep God at arm's length? Or are you in this redemption narrative, drawing close to this God of power who invites us to come near to the throne of grace, even in the midst of the lightning and the thunder and the earthquakes of his power and glory? My guess is that most of us probably find ourselves in both places depending on the day. Sometimes we draw close to that terrifying and beautiful throne of grace, and other times we stay away, not wanting to risk our own power or our own plans. Today, I want to help each and every one of you move further into that redemption narrative, leaving behind the fall, your own pursuit of safety and power, and moving into the type of intimate communion with Christ that gives us an up-close and personal experience with his goodness and power. I want you to believe, to really believe, that living in and seeing the power of God in work in and around you is actually the normal Christian life. Church, the normal Christian life is marked by God's power working within us in ways that far exceed our wildest expectations. The normal Christian life is marked by God's power working within us in ways that far exceed our wildest expectations. However, like the priest at the tabernacle who would prepare the space for the people to encounter God, I can tell you about God and his power. I can invite you in, but I can't make you engage. That's up to each one of you. You have to come and be willing and open. It's not until his glory falls and his power is revealed that you will truly experience this amazing God I'm going to tell you about today. So let's begin with prayer and silence. I'm just going to give you a moment to open your heart and mind to God. Lord, here we are. We do ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we could see you and understand you and draw near to your throne of grace. Take a moment now and just offer him your attention, your heart, your mind, your wonders. Speak, Lord. Amen. So, looking at Ephesians 3:20, we see that God's power is at work within us. So if that's the case, how do we get this power? And here's some really good news. All you have to do is believe. For those who call themselves Christians, it's already ours in Christ. Our post-Enlightenment culture, and to be honest, much of the culture here at Resonate at times, prefers the sensible, the pragmatic, the understandable. We are often uncomfortable with the mysterious and unexplainable parts of God. We are cautious against the misuse of those expressions of faith. But could it be that when we lean too much on our own understanding, our own reasoning of God's word and work, that we are actually stifling the movement and power of God's Spirit in our own lives and in our places of influence? Could that be the reason that we're not maybe seeing God's power at work regularly in our lives? The miraculous expression of God's power is the normal Christian life, you guys. It's not the exception. A normal faith is not the boring, expressionless, reasonable, maybe one day I might possibly see some sort of miracle in my life kind of faith. So why is that the life that so many of us are living? Now, I'm not saying that God's power is only manifested through something wild, like someone being raised from the dead, or a cancerous tumor disappearing after a prayer session, or someone being healed from an addiction in the blink of an eye. God does do that, and you should believe him for it and ask him for it. But God's power can also look like working through conflict in your marriage, or your family, or your life group when it would be easier to walk away. Or keeping your kids up past their bedtime to hang out with your refugee neighbors. God's power can look like putting your phone away and praying for the people around you in the store, in traffic, or in your classroom at school. God's power can look like waking up before you need to because you know that what you really need is time with God in scripture and prayer before your day starts. The miraculous can also be normal. Not because every moment is fireworks, but because every act of faith obedience and surrender is a window for God to move. Ethne Dental is a dental practice in Clarkston that primarily serves refugees. One of the dentists who works there previously had a very successful practice in a really nice suburb of Atlanta. He made lots of money, he had people doing the hard grunt work for him, and they were living happily ever after until he heard about Ethne's need for another dentist. And he took it to prayer, and within the span of a year, this man had sold his practice, given up his cushy life in many ways, taken a massive pay cut, and gone to work part-time as a dentist for Ethne Dental and part-time in prisons throughout the state. Changed everything for him and his family. This is the power of God at work in our lives. This power manifested in us is truly limitless. But here's the thing, it's not just meant to flow through you alone as an individual. The New Testament vision of God's power is always tied to community, to the body of Christ functioning and working together. When one member suffers, we all do. When one rejoices, we all share in it. The power of God is revealed when a church carries one another's burdens, shares generously, reconciles across division, and sings out loud with one voice together. Don't underestimate what God can do through us together. The Spirit doesn't just dwell in you individually. The Spirit dwells in us. And the Spirit dwelling and working in us is meant to be a blessing to the world around us. So if God's power is a free gift and we have unrestricted access to God's power through the Holy Spirit, what do we do with it? Well, the first thing for us to understand is that God's power cannot be controlled or managed by us. We cannot control or manage God's power. Instead, we entrust ourselves to God, believing that He will work in and through us with power. Now, this is kind of a hard pill to swallow for us. I'm not going to lie. It's more difficult than it sounds because unrestrained power that we can't dictate, we can't control, can leave us feeling afraid, out of control, and at times foolish. And you know what? Sometimes we don't just feel foolish. We actually look really foolish. But this is the life of the ordinary Christian. If you read through the Bible, none of that is a surprise. The only pathway for someone who is a Christian is full surrender to God and His ways. And I know that there's a progression and sanctification in that. But on this side of Christ's work, we have one choice, surrender, entrusting ourselves to God and His powerful work in and around us. Now we do this in the little things and the big things, asking the Spirit to lead and guide us every step of the way. You don't have to be a super Christian to see God at work in your life. You just have to accept His work in and through your ordinariness and stop trying to take over and write the story according to your plan, agenda, or plot line. In Matthew 11, Jesus prays, I'm going to read it in the message. He says, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from the sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to the ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work, sharing His ways with the ordinary people." God's ways are shared not just with the biblical scholar or the persecuted Christian in prison or the charismatic preacher or the missionary who gave up everything to go to the other side of the world, but also the regular, normal, everyday person who is stumbling their way towards Christlikeness. Every single one of you who calls themselves a Christian, all you have to do is release yourself to His work and believe it. Watchman Nee was a Chinese pastor in the 20th century. He wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. And I want to read a quote from his book. You can follow along on the screen. He says, "I am only an earthen vessel, but in that earthen vessel, I carry a treasure of unspeakable worth, the Lord of glory. Do you know there are resources enough in your own heart to meet the demand of every circumstance in which you will ever find yourself? Do you know there is power enough there to move the city in which you live? Do you know there is power enough to shake the universe?" He says, "Let me tell you once more, I say it with the utmost reverence. You who have been born again of the Spirit of God, you carry God in your heart. Church, all we have to do is entrust ourselves to God's power, to see him at work in and through us, enough that our city can be changed and moved, enough that the impossible prayers you are praying can be answered. Now, in order for us to entrust ourselves to God's power, we must become people who pray. James tells us that we don't have what we desire because we don't ask for it. And he also says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. All you have to do is pray. And of course, I know it's more complicated than that. Many of us are living in so many more unanswered prayers than answered prayers. But as we hold that tension, we can't deny that this passage is still in Scripture. And a good question to evaluate what sort of belief you have in the power of prayer is, if God answered every single prayer that you prayed this week, what would happen? What would change in the world around you? Would it just be the giant things that you can't do anything about anyway, so you might as well pray about? Peace in the Middle East, racism, homelessness, and addiction? Or would it just be the really little things? A really good parking spot at Trader Joe's? Your kid actually napping during nap time? Your great aunt's hip replacement? Now, none of these things are wrong to pray for. It's just that the content of our prayers often reveals a lot about what we actually believe about prayer. So, if we want to see God's power at work and to be part of it, we do have to pray. And then after we pray, this is one of my favorite parts, we just give attention to what God is doing in and around us. If God is doing the work, if he's the empowerer and the enabler and the equipper, then our participation begins by simply leaning in and watching him work up close. Last month, I was in Rwanda with a couple of other women from Resonate at a conference for women leaders. The content of our first day of the conference was simple. We led the women through their life stories, the highs and the lows, and had them meet God in their story. No big deal, right? I'd done this in other countries and other places. Except when we arrived, we learned about the caliber of these women and immediately felt completely inadequate to be offering any sort of training or resources. These women from 13 different countries from sub-Saharan Africa were lawyers in their countries seeking justice for the oppressed. They were university professors. They were national directors of ministries in their country. And you guys, I kid you not, one of the women was a Supreme Court justice in the nation of Tanzania. Huh. It's kind of a big deal. So what I'd like to tell you is that I was so humbled and so honored, but what I really felt was the pride of intimidation and inadequacy. I was afraid that this meeting God and our story experience would fall flat and I wouldn't look good. So as I was praying through that the first morning before we began, the Lord brought Psalm 46:10 to my mind. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." With that verse and this sermon about God's power kind of rolling around in my mind, I knew what God was inviting me to do. To trust him completely, to lay aside my own feelings or needs to prove myself or to manufacture some sort of encounter with God. I was to be still and trust him to work, basically praying, "God, if you don't move, we'll have nothing here." So that's what we did as a team. We were still before God. We prayed over the women as they went through the experience. And you guys, God moved. The power of the Spirit fell in that space, meeting women in pains and hurts that they had never acknowledged or shared before in their lives. And then because we sat back and continued to wait on God, the group broke out into spontaneous worship, singing and crying, standing and kneeling, embracing, declaring and believing the goodness of God over their own lives and stories. Here's a picture of that moment. I wish you could have all been there with me or heard the singing. I'm pretty sure this is what heaven looks like. Also, if you're ever having this moment, Janine Post is the person you want praying over you. How good it was to trust completely. But I still feel a little bit jittery at how easy it would have been for me to, out of insecurity or attempt to control, intervene in God's work through trying to get God to work. But I learned I don't need to manage God's power. I don't need to manifest it or manufacture it. All I need to do is get close to Jesus, pray, and watch him work. And sometimes on a really, really good day, he uses me as that pathway for his power to flow. So we cannot manage or control God's power, but we can participate in it through releasing ourselves to God's work. And we do this by praying and by watching. So if all this is true, if God uses his power to save, and he also invites us to be part of it by praying and watching, then what does an ordinary Christian life marked by God's power actually look like? Well, God's power working in us exceeds our wildest expectations, calling us to trust completely, pray confidently, and proclaim boldly. As we trust God completely, the Spirit strengthens and empowers us to do his work. It's not us digging deep to have the guts to do this. We are just the conduits, the pipeline, the pathway for his power to move and work. The life of a Christian is a life of radical faith, stepping out of our comfort zone, our safety net, and sometimes our sensibilities. We live in such a way that unless Jesus is for real, we will be wasting our lives and look like fools. A number of years back, I was praying with a family at Resonate about the husband's next steps for his career. He had just finished a medical fellowship and they really didn't want to leave Atlanta, but there were no jobs available for him. He had two offers on the table, both out of state, both with their pros and cons, but they just didn't feel peace about accepting either one. And yet there was a deadline for the jobs and he eventually had to make money at some point, right? But as they prayed over and over again, they sensed the call to wait. And so they did, trusting completely and also probably kind of miserably in God's instruction to wait. The deadlines for the other jobs came and went, and they continued to wait. And a couple weeks after that, he got a call. Little did he know that Choa had been working behind the scenes to make a way for him to stay. And so, because they trusted completely, courageously risking futures and outcomes and looking like fools, Michael and Katie White and Ruby and Gemma and Hugh are still here at Resonate. And aren't we so grateful that they did that? So we trust, and now we have Paul and Janet White for the same reason. So it's the gift that keeps giving. So we trust completely. And sometimes that looks like stepping up, which we'll talk about in a moment, but a lot of times it looks like stepping back, releasing our plans to see God work, risking looking and feeling like a complete fool if he doesn't show up. And then we pray confidently. I already mentioned this earlier, but it's worth saying again. Richard Foster doesn't mince words when he speaks of the role that prayer plays in the life of a Christian. He says, prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. If you're not praying, I'm not sure you want to change. I'm not sure you actually want to see God's power at work in your life. That's all there is to it. The power of God, the God who does immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, is revealed to us as we pray in our abiding and our conversing with him throughout our days. Here's a simple example from a couple of women in our church. Abby was preparing to travel out of town, and the day before she was supposed to leave, sort of out of the blue, this thought dropped into her head to check in on a friend who had a precarious vehicle situation. She sent the friend a text asking if she had need for a car, and the friend replied that just that very morning, she had been praying and asking God for the provision of a car for the week. So what is this, a coincidence? Or is it God's power at work in those who pray confidently? Our culture calls it coincidence, but we as people who faithfully believe in the power and work of God through our lives give all glory to God for something as simple as a shared car. So, to see God's power at work around you, start asking him to show it. Start asking him for eyes to see and ears to hear him at work. And instead of defaulting to writing things off as coincidental or circumstantial, offer him blessings and praise for the things that come through. What's the harm if God is glorified. So we trust completely, we pray confidently, and then we proclaim boldly. It is by God's power within us that we testify to the grace of God with our actions and with our words. God's power working within us gives us the courage to share the gospel of Christ boldly, believing the same power that drew us to Christ can draw someone else there as well. Now, I know that a lot of us get uncomfortable when we're presented with the opportunity to share the gospel or even just share about God's work in our lives or where we were on Sunday morning. And if this is you, I understand it. Listen, I am a super extrovert. I can talk to anybody, and I feel uncomfortable at times, so I can only imagine how everyone else in the room feels. That said, if you're not sharing the gospel with others, I'm not sure that you're actually spending time sitting in the power of the gospel over your own life. We speak out of the things that are engaging our minds, the things that we give our time to. So what is taking up your thoughts? What are you giving your time to? Why is the gospel not overflowing out of you? Or perhaps you're hung up on proclaiming because you believe that you have to be the one to muster the strength to do it on your own. But that's not the case either. In Colossians, Paul talks about proclaiming Christ, striving with Christ's strength that works powerfully in him. The sharing of the gospel is something that is a work of God's power within us, not our own mustering up of strength. It's entrusting ourselves to his work in and through us as we pray for direction and we trust the Spirit to speak through us. So what would change in your proclamation if you were given an opportunity to share and reminded yourself, this is Christ's strength in me doing this, not my own? Pursue loving communion and conversation with Christ at all times. And ministry will flow out of you, I promise. When you begin to see God powerfully at work around you, you will be compelled to join in. So in summary, God's power will both scare and amaze the living daylights out of us. And it will also take us on the wildest and sweetest ride we could ever imagine. It's ours for free in Christ, and it truly is the normal Christian life. But the catch is that God's power at work in our life can be a bit unmanageable and uncontrollable. So our invitation to this normal Christian life is to entrust ourselves to God completely, to pray confidently and to proclaim boldly, and to come in close and see all of the amazing things he is doing around you, even now, by his power. Don't wait until you feel ready. The Spirit can carry us through the risk. So here's where to start. Begin with right now. We're about to move into communion and worship through song. Respond to God as a person who lives on this side of the cross, approaching the throne of grace with boldness. Don't let your own shame or regrets hold you back from that throne of grace. We're giving mercy and grace to help us in times of need. And then offer your full worship to him when we sing, when we worship through communion, when you're in fellowship. And then secondly, go to scripture. Believe in his power because you see it for yourself in the word of God. Spend some time this week in the book of Ephesians and pay attention to the word power, where it shows up, what Paul's talking about, and form your own biblical conviction of what the power of God looks like in the life of a Christian. And then last, do some noticing. Take 10 minutes and sit down in a public place and just watch people and whatever's going on. Dialogue with God about it in your head, not out loud. That might get weird. But what do you notice when you're dialoguing with God and you're watching? Where is he working even in this random public space? What is he inviting you to see? A few weeks ago, I was at the airport and I had my book out while I was sitting. And then this kind of thought, the Lord prompted me to put it away. So I put my book away and I just kind of sat there watching people get on planes and off planes and walk by. And it just about like knocked me out of my seat as I sat in conversation with God about all of these people he had created in his image. Hundreds, all going different places, different parts of their story, highs and lows. Some of them are walking with Jesus, some of them are not. It was so weighty just to sit with God in that moment as he shared a little bit of his heart and his love with me. And then as I'm sitting there kind of just staring, I hear this somebody say something next to me, and I look over, and it's this guy who's sitting there by himself, kind of like talking to the universe, hoping that someone will respond. He obviously had targeted me as the only person who didn't have my phone out or my book out. So I turned to him, and we started conversing, and it turns out he lives in Asheville and has a couple businesses, and we talked through his experience of going through the hurricane that went through North Carolina. And we had this deep conversation about his wrestling with God's goodness and judgment and justice and mercy and what it's looked like for him to live in that over the past 6 months or so. I didn't lead him to Christ. We didn't have, you know, like, didn't have visions of angels or anything like that. But this was a holy moment, because I was watching God at work, and he spoke and shared and invited me into conversation with somebody. That is the joy of living in and through the power of God. So a life marked by God's power is already yours in Christ. So church, what's it gonna be? Do you just wanna say that you believe in God's power theoretically, but you keep it at arm's length because it's unpredictable and it can't be managed or explained, and it's a little bit scary and maybe a lot embarrassing? Or do you want to come in close, letting go of your plans and your agendas, and just watch God at work, and even get to be part of it sometimes, and have your wildest expectations and imaginations far exceeded? Think back to those people with these cool God stories, even some of the stories I've told today. That can be you, and it can be you for more days than not. There is nothing special about these people. Let's start living the normal Christian life by releasing ourselves to God, embracing his power, which is at work within us.